Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6 read, "When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. And as always, I am your host, Pastor Bryce. Not as always, but as once before, I do have with me Denton Ice. Denton, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
I mean, the critics raved the last time you were on, and they just wanted you back. They begged for you, and here you are, so thank you.
Wow. You have critics that listen to this podcast.
Only critics.
Only critics. Wow.
No, but I really do appreciate you taking time out.
Yeah.
We are today continuing our quarterly focus on missions, which we've just started, and we've been talking about motivation for missions. Today, we do have a task. It's big. It's a little too big. But that's why I brought you, Denton, because you are the expert here.
Oh, wow.
To be able to talk about really God's whole mission without the S on it, you know, mission. What is God's mission in Scripture and in this world, and then how does that motivate us in missions? Now, before we do that, I did want to ask if you would let our listeners know a little bit more. We've announced this at Faith Bible, and I know there are several churches in town have been talking about it. But you are helping to organize a conference that's coming up really soon. Could you let us know a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Reformanda Initiative Conference is coming up in November. It's November 8th and 9th. It's a Friday, Saturday. And it's a really awesome opportunity. So if you've never heard of the Reformanda Initiative, it's a really cool. They've got a website. It's an organization that is centered in, and the organizers of it, they do ministry in the city center, the heart of Rome. And their mission is to educate evangelicals on Roman Catholic theology, Roman Catholic practice, to help us really sort of understand what Roman Catholic theology teaches, what they believe, and how it differs from us, and why that's significant, because there are some significant differences between what we believe and what Roman Catholics believe, even about the gospel. And so the conference is coming up. November is just a few weeks away, and it is free, which is awesome. We've had some generous donations that have made that possible, so that it is going to be completely free. We do have a registration for it, though. If you are interested in coming, we would encourage you to register. That way you can get a meal, because not only is it free, but we will serve lunch on Saturday. So register for, and if you're going to be coming and going to be eating lunch. If you don't register, you're still welcome to come, but you don't get lunch, you know? But yeah, it's a really awesome conference covering some really helpful topics, especially where we are here in Evansville. It's a very heavily Roman Catholic area. We have neighbors, coworkers, family members all around us who are Roman Catholic. And I think we desperately need to know and understand how it is that we can interact with them, what they believe versus what we believe. And the conference covers a lot of those things. It covers questions like, do we believe the same gospel? It covers things like, how do we interact with and share the gospel with our Roman Catholic friends and family? Really, really good questions from guys who are not only very well educated in these things, but are doing ministry in an even more Roman Catholic context than we are here. So
it's as Roman Catholic as it gets in Rome.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And so we'd encourage you all come out. It's going to be really, really enjoyable, and I think really beneficial for the church.
Yeah, and it's going to be at First Southern, which is right off the Lloyd there.
Yep.
Right?
First Southern Baptist Church, 25 South Cullen Avenue.
Perfect.
Yep.
And then if someone wants to register, do they just go on the website of your church, or how would they find that registration?
They can find that through the website at our church.
Which is Redeemer Fellowship.
It is evansvillechurch.com is our website, so you can go there and find it. If you are a member at Faith Bible Church, you also can probably find it on maybe some of your slides, or if you have announcement tables somewhere. You can find it there. You can always reach out to Pastor Bryce, and he can get that for you as well. But yeah, evansvillechurch.com is our website, and it is linked through there. You can find that.
Yep, we've got it on our slide rotation, so you can catch it on a Sunday morning on the slide rotation or evansvillechurch.com. Yeah, and I know, I mean, after we had announced it, someone reached out to me right away and said, hey, give me that information, because interested in coming to that. And I've had a number of conversations with people, even within the last year or two. A lot of that's just because of the area we live in.
Right.
It's a very highly Catholic area. We've got a lot of people with Roman Catholic backgrounds themselves. Mm-hmm. So to be able to hear from very solid and experienced men how we can love and share the gospel with Roman Catholics, that is invaluable. I know in my own life, some of the guys that I'm sharing with at the gym have a Roman Catholic background. So that comes up. That's just helpful to have that knowledge. So.
Yeah, and I would also say if you want to find out more about the Reformanda Initiative, like leading up to the conference, they do have a podcast, and you can check out their podcast, Reformanda Initiative Podcast. They have articles that they put out on their website, reformandainitiative.org. So plenty of things you can even go ahead and get connected with and find useful before then.
Perfect. Thank you for that. So now we are turning our attention to the whole Bible and the whole purpose of life in 15 minutes. We got this. But that is what we're talking about. Again, we're talking about missions with an S, which is bringing the gospel across boundaries, cultural boundaries, national boundaries. But I do want to talk about, in terms of a motivation today, whether it's reaching Roman Catholics in Rome, which kind of missions, or any kind of missions, how part of our motivation is being able to see ourselves as part of something larger than just going somewhere and telling someone something. Mm-hmm. I have a quotation here. It's from Andreas Kostenberger. This is from his book. It's a biblical theology of mission in the Bible, just tracing it all the way through. It's called Salvation to the Ends of the Earth. Page 11 of that book, here's, in a sense, kind of his summary of God's big mission in the world. He says, from the original creation of the heaven and the earth to the future formation of a new heaven and a new earth, the books of Genesis to Revelation present an incredibly diverse but nonetheless remarkably coherent account. At the heart of this story is the grace-inspired missional activity of God renewing all creation. Fundamental to this entire process is the incarnation of God's unique Son, Jesus Christ, climaxing in his sacrificial death, bodily resurrection, glorious ascension to the right hand of the Father, and future return as universal judge. While Christ's first coming to the earth as the God-man is central to the success of God's mission, the whole of Scripture bears witness to an extended program of divine activity that prepares for and follows on from Christ's incarnation, the story of God's activity to reconcile humanity and all creation to himself undoubtedly unites the library of books that comprise the Bible. And he then goes on in the next paragraph and he talks about, quote, God's restorative mission. So that's what we're talking about today. And he calls it an extended program. I mean, just the big picture of what God's doing in the world, and then considering how missions fits into that. So that's why I brought Denton on, is to talk about that big picture. And we're both aware that we're very limited on time, and we really could talk a long time about any of these questions, but we'll just see how Denton is able to handle these. I do want to start with a pretty typical division between Old and New Testament that's often given when we're just thinking of God's big picture mission is a lot of times people say God's mission in the Old Testament was presented to his people as come and see. And then the New Testament, it shifts to go and tell. But I wanted to start with that in terms of what God's been doing in this world. Before Christ came, there was this come and see aspect to God's mission. Could you help elaborate a little bit on what that meant?
Yeah, I think that one of the first things when I think of this this idea of the Old Testament representing a come and see kind of mission or a come and see aspect of the scriptures and how God was using his people, I think there are some things that I would say that are misleading about that idea. I think the idea of come and see makes it sound as though it's something that is almost hidden, almost something that's requires a lot of effort to be done by folks in order to get the opportunity to admire God's people, God's mission, what he's doing. And so there's that. I kind of put that on the forefront because I do think that 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 is a little bit misleading. I think that God really, in the Old Testament, what he was doing with his people, they were really, in many ways, similar to what the Lord calls us. They were a people set on a hill. They were in really the heart of culture at that time, of society. I mean, they were in the middle of all kinds of different people groups who didn't have the opportunity not to to see the people of God and to see what the Lord was doing. But I think it is right. So that's kind of where I would say the phrase come and see is misleading. But I think it is right in saying that the Lord was doing something particular with his people in using them as a display for how he was going to redeem the world, how he was going to restore all people. And in Genesis chapter, I think we see the starting of this, of what God was doing with his people in Genesis chapter 12, where the Lord, he calls Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." What's interesting about this call of Abraham, of Abram at the time, is that the Lord says, I am going to bless you so that you will be a blessing. So in Abraham, as the Lord is beginning to establish his people, his covenant, as the Lord was establishing Israel here in the earliest parts of Genesis, we see that his intention is ultimately to bless the world, to bless all people. And it is beginning here in Abraham. You see, as blessing Abraham, his intention is that Abraham would be blessed so that he can be a blessing to all the world. What the Lord is doing through Abraham is eventually going to result in something universal in scope, something worldwide in scope, not merely ending here. And so I think what the Lord does is he takes Abraham, and then continuing on, he takes his people Israel, and he makes them something to serve as a display to the world around. But also, and this is not something that I have come up with by any means, but I think it's Christopher Wright, he has written on these kinds of things. He makes the argument that what the Lord is doing with Israel is that he creates them and gives them a sort of priestly role to the world around him, such that the people around them, even as the Lord says to Abram, those who bless you, I will bless; those who curse you, I will curse. They become, in a sense, a mediatorial role to the people around them, that they will be blessed via Israel, that Israel has been set apart in this particular way for this particular task. Actually, I think we see that in Exodus. I'll read one more passage real quick. This is in Exodus 19, as Israel comes to Mount Sinai. I'll just read just a few verses. And starting in verse 3, "While Moses went up to God, the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel.'" So what the Lord tells Moses to tell the people is that you will be a priestly nation. He gives them this priestly role, that they are his, as he calls them, his special possession, even though he goes on to say that all the earth is mine, right? But you are a special possession. You are set apart for a particular task, and through you, through the people, he is beginning a work through Israel that he will ultimately result in him blessing all people. But this is kind of the beginning stage of what we see being progressively revealed. That's what Paul talks about in Hebrews chapter 3 that you read at the beginning. Yeah. So I think what you see is the beginning stages of that, as the Lord is beginning his work of redemption, of restoration. He's beginning it with the people of Israel, but not exclusively for the people of Israel.
Yeah, that's well said. Yeah, See, now you're going to have to come up with something alternative to come and see then.
Yeah.
You work on that and you let us know what it is. No, because that's a good point. Very much there was a focus. And even them being in the land in between.
Yeah.
They were between the great. I mean, they were kind of the conduit. They were the highway if you wanted to go down to Egypt or you want to go up to some of those superpowers. So that was a very specific placement.
Yeah.
God was doing something through the nation. Now, Denton and I disagree slightly in some ways we put the Bible together.
Yeah.
In that I'm dispensational and you're covenantal. And look, we love each other. See that? That's a good example. We can love each other and disagree. And so some of the ways we put the Bible together will be a little different. Although I told Denton at the beginning of this, probably we'll agree on most everything we say here. Because we're moving now from Old Testament. I agree with what you just shared there.
Good. For a second, I thought you were about to say you didn't.
No, I do agree with that. And so now we're moving from their Old Testament. So God had a specific purpose and he was using Israel to do it. And come and see, or some alternative, God placed them in that land, but his whole plan always was to bless all the nations. We start to then see that plan fulfilled in a larger way as we move to the New Testament. Yeah, that passage that I began with, talking about the mystery that's been revealed, that Gentiles, so the Philistines, all the ites, everybody who in the Old Testament could be blessed through Israel, but often were the enemies. Mm-hmm. And now the mystery is God, through Christ, commissioning his people, go and tell. Could you elaborate just a little bit for us now? What's happening there in God's mission as we move to the new covenant, New Testament?
Yeah. So what I think has been helpful to me thinking about the mission of God and as it's seen throughout all of Scripture, looking at it as a whole, which is great. The quote by Kostenberger, I think, was spot on in that it really is a full story that you see in Scripture that is very cohesive, and it really is a display of the mission of God. And I think you see the mission played out in what I think is somewhat helpfully laid out in three, I don't want to say phases, but you see it.
Dispensations. No, three dispensations.
Is that how many there are? Three dispensations?
No, there's a bunch. Everybody's got different ideas about that.
Yeah.
Phases.
We'll go with phases. You see, first of all, the phase of Israel, and then Christ, and then the church. And sometimes these are described in sort of a temple motif that you see the temple represented in Israel, and then in Christ, and then in the church. Being in the presence of God, being with the Lord, happens in these different ways throughout history, redemptive history specifically. And it moves from Israel then to Christ. The presence of God is centered with Christ. He is the temple, if you will, on earth. He is the presence of God on earth. And when Christ ascends, then I think there's a shift to where we are now. And that is that it is the church that is representative of the temple of God. We represent the presence of God and have been given in the New Testament explicit commissions to go and do exactly what Matthew writes for us, and that is to go and make disciples of all nations. We see the Lord now in his mission. We see the next phase of it where no longer is his focus sort of centralized on the Jewish people, on Israel proper, but rather it is centered on those people who are members of the new covenant, those who are united with Christ, have now, have taken on that role of God's temple here on earth. And so I would say the church now occupies that role. And in that role, the church has been called to operate differently than what the people of Israel were called to operate under. We have been, as the author of Hebrews says, we are no longer under the old covenant, but the new. When the new covenant has come, the old has passed away. And so that doesn't mean that we take the Old Testament and disregard it, right? We don't throw it out as though it's no longer of any value to us, but rather we see where we are now as a part of this continuing mission of God, and our role that we play in this continuing mission is that we have been called to display to the world the image of God, not through a series of perhaps civil or ceremonial laws, but through us as Spirit-filled temples of God, declaring to the world the righteousness of God.
That's excellent. So if we put those together then, as we kind of land this plane, so that's the big picture, Old to New Testament. That's God's mission. That's what he's doing. And now here we are in the New Testament or covenant. And if we were to then conclude briefly by just saying, how does having that picture in our heads motivate us in the task of missions, namely taking the gospel across boundaries to other peoples? So how does having that in our heads help us?
I think it helps us in a few ways. One is that certainly for myself, as a Gentile, it is a cause for great rejoicing to see what the Lord has done in his mission to extend the gospel to Gentiles, something that was very difficult for many to accept back in Jesus' day, and even in Acts. I was thinking about this as you know, even you just read in Ephesians how this mystery that the Gentiles are now fellow heirs, it was kind of scandalous, really, the idea that the Gentiles would be added into to the people of God, would become covenant people of God. It was scandalous. And in Acts chapter 22, whenever Paul is speaking to the crowd in Jerusalem, this is after he's been arrested, and he speaks to them, and he's talking to them about his sort of what has happened to him, how the Lord had revealed himself when he was on the road to Damascus, and you know, just the whole story that he went through, and even really actually mentioning Christ in his explanation. And they all listen. The Jewish crowd there listens to him until he says that now the gospel is going to the Gentiles. And it is, the text says that at this, they stopped listening. They couldn't take it any longer, this scandalous thing. So first of all, for myself as a Gentile, I find this to be exceedingly good news that I would be included in what God is doing in the world. And good enough news that I want to go and tell other people, whether Jew or Gentile, this good news of God's good and gracious mission that includes me. And it includes me despite the fact that I'm sinful, despite the fact that I'm broken. And not only does it include me in spite of that, it is a good story of how I'm going to be restored and redeemed and ultimately glorified. So that's one thing. But I think also when you see the mission of God on display in Scripture, you see the fullness of what God is doing, indeed a coherent picture of the mission of God, of what he's accomplishing, of this story of restoration, of redemption, and you see that there is a particular place where we fit as the church, as the people of God today, that God has a plan that he has been accomplishing, a mission that he has been working out through all of history, and he has included us as a particular part of that plan, that it is not random. There was not a time in the Old Testament where the Jewish people, the people of God, were just doing random things for whatever reason. No, they had a specific purpose that they were given. In addition to the privilege of being God's people, they were given a task, they were given a purpose. We too are also not left floating around wondering what it is that we are called to do, what how we can find purpose and meaning in life. We're actually given that in the fact that if we belong to God, we have been given this task of proclaiming the good news of the gospel to the world around us, of going and telling to the world around us, starting with our family, our next door neighbors, people down the street, people in other countries. It helps us to see what we are called to as a part of something grander, something better, something that is ordained by God, and therefore something that will succeed and will lead to his glory and to our joy.
Yeah, that is perfectly put. Thank you, Denton, so
You're
much
welcome.
For giving us that overview.
Well, I want to hear from you. What do you think?
Well,
this last question.
Honestly, I feel like you hit the nail on the head. Even when I was reading that introductory verse from Ephesians, the mysteries that the Gentiles are fellow members of the same body, I was struck again just with that real sense of gratitude, of knowing that it can feel like Paul was an American, you know, because we're in this it's just easy to think that way, you know, like you. And so missions is us Americans who were born with the gospel. It started on our soil. Take it overseas. But no, we are the Gentiles.
Yeah.
So even when the Great Commission is given to go to the ends of, you know, go, go make disciples. And then what Jesus had told his disciples at the beginning of Acts, here in Jerusalem, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Like, we are the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
And now we're continuing on. The torch has been handed to us, and now we're carrying it on. So that's such a cause of gratitude. I appreciate you mentioning that. I mean, that fuels our missions because we are the result of missions.
Amen. You know?
And if the disciples hadn't done it, we'd never hear it. And then that second piece too of being able to see where we are in what God's doing, rather than just randomly floating around doing work, making money, eating food, and then you die, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, surely there's something more. And it's interesting how as Christians, especially if we've grown up familiar with the Bible, we can easily identify God's big mission in the Bible. But what's really hard is then to step back after you've done that and go like, oh, that's about us.
Yeah.
And we're continuing, we're in the New Testament, New Covenant. So that's our purpose too, is we're continuing something that's been going on for two millennia now, but very much that's our life too. So I agree with you. I really appreciate you sharing those things.
Yeah.
Now, you who are listening, maybe you're excited about missions, but you never really thought about how it does fit into what God's doing in the whole world as Scripture reveals it. Or maybe you're just so busy that although you can trace the outline of God's mission in the Bible, you never have stopped to think about how that relates to you continuing to pass the baton on of the gospel to others. Whatever the case in the past might be, may God help us all now to think this way.